Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and is also on the Hockey Podcast Network. We're also pleased to announce that Raycon is now also a part of things. So DraftKings and Raycon are now a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. They're sponsoring us, so wonderful news. With that, I thank each and every one of you always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back and board with you once again today. The sun is shining here on Thursday morning in Golden Valley, Minnesota. Nice to have. The weather is still cold, but at least you get the sun shining. And unfortunately, we're in the All-Star break and the bye or whatever the heck. It's like a combination of things. So no Minnesota Wild hockey for about a week. But at least we have games to review and games to preview. And we'll be able to consistently still do the show that way. Just not as busy, per se, with games, which is okay, I guess. It's kind of like a little bit of a break for me, I suppose. Purple Mafia is not going to be on this week unless there's huge news. Obviously, that's a Minnesota Vikings show I do. And, of course, it's Pro Bowl week. We don't really talk about the Pro Bowl that much on podcasts. I guess some people do, but I don't know. So with that said, let's try to get right into it. What do we have? Two games to review, two games to preview. So that's always fun. Next week, it'll be two. Yeah, whatever it is. We'll get to it when it matters most. Philadelphia and Buffalo both winning 3-2, and Marc-Andre Fleury in the net for both games. Gustafson struggled a little bit in his last few games, so and that's fine. We'll see if the Wild go three wins, three losses. It's been a weird trend lately, but that's why the last episode was called Three Up, Three Down. Dallas Stars in first place at Winnipeg is breathing right down their back right now, 65 points. Dallas at 66, if I didn't say that. Minnesota, 58. Colorado breathing down our back with 57. We both have played the same amount of games, but four less games than Winnipeg and three less than Dallas. Okay, so there's your cute little game in hand argument that we could have forever. Minnesota's built a solid lead over St. Louis, thankfully, and have played three less games. That helps as well. A 9-point lead over the St. Louis Blues. But you still got Nashville to worry about, Colorado to worry about. Calgary is kind of a mess. It's a weird mess what's going on there. I think they've underachieved during the course of this season. I don't think there's really a whole lot of doubt about that. It's probably the coaching at this stage, as good as Daryl Sutter's been throughout his career. Maybe he's like a Mike Zimmer now in terms of hockey coaches. He just might kind of be, and like, get off my lawn. That's what I've been hearing about on the Fireside Chat, basically. That's a Calgary Flames podcast that's been around for quite a while. Yeah, that he's kind of turned into a get off my lawn, you know, type of guy who doesn't necessarily want young guys out there, which is not the smartest thing you can do. Let's get to the Philadelphia game. So, yeah, I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit sometimes when it comes to, like, looking around the league a little bit. But, of course, we'll probably get plenty of interaction in Fan Interaction segment. We're going to have that once again. And, of course, we're going to debut the Raycon ad on this show. That should be in between the second and third segment. I'm going to probably do DraftKings in between first and second. Well, basically the start of second segment. And then Raycon will lead into the Fan Interaction segment. That's probably how I'm going to do that. Kind of split them up. You don't want them back to back. And you probably don't want the show to start with an ad. I've heard complaints about that in the past with other shows. Now, the little national ones that get put in at the beginning, those are okay. Because they're usually not real long. and all that. But for the host to kind of just jump into an ad before the show starts, it's probably really annoying. So, yeah. But yeah, Raycon. Hey, I have Raycons, and I'll talk about that as well. I actually have them, so it's easy to do an ad for them. Philadelphia Flyers, of course, general managed by Chuck Fletcher and coached by John Tortorella, Mr. F-U-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F, usually in his press conferences, particularly with the New York Rangers. 20-21-9, seventh place in the Metropolitan Division, but still one of the better logos and uniforms in NHL history. Yes, I'm saying it. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I mean, I'm not being sarcastic. It's real. Philadelphia was up 1-0. Somebody named Noah Cates was able to get his first goal, but Boldy, a couple of goals in this one, his 30 and 31st goals of his career. And actually, a very interesting statistic about that is that he is the youngest player in Minnesota Wild history to get to that, to get us to his 30 and 31st goals since Marian Gaborik. So a lot of people that might not be super high on Matt Boldy at the moment because maybe they're not seeing this, they're not seeing that. It's interesting. Interesting. So at least you have that to go on with Matt Boldy on the positivity side of things. So very interesting. I mean, I can understand maybe he doesn't dazzle necessarily, but he certainly has been a heck of a lot better the past few weeks. It's safe to say. He was pretty invisible for like a month or so there. It was kind of weird, you know, and along with other players, I'm sure, throughout the roster that are always invisible. Greenway the Friendly Ghost, that's probably his new nickname on this show. Greenway the Friendly Ghost, the friendliest ghost you'll know. Okay, sorry. Tony D'Angelo was one of the better defensemen out there. Fantasy guy. Yep, he actually found his way on my fantasy team over the course of the season, and he's probably going to stay. It's an okay roster, and I don't know, like Tortorella is kind of the kind of guy that's just going to, he's going to get the most out of his players and this and that. But it's going to be kind of that grinded out style. It's not going to be anything spectacular. Carter Hart was kind of thrown to the wolves a little too early. It's too bad because he looked like an absolute phenom. Fleury obviously was a goaltending phenom, becoming a number one overall pick in the draft and having a hell of a career for the most part, except choking in the playoffs a lot throughout his career. Throughout his career, I just said that. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Matt Boldy, three-point game. He was a part of all three goals, including the spectacular Matt Zuccarello between the legs, spectacular in overtime. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Joel Eriksson Ek did not find his way on the score sheet. Brandon Duhame's been insanely quiet. Connor DeWeer. Jordan Greenway is what he is. He's Greenway the Friendly Ghost. But again, Spurgeon, Addison finding their way in the scorer's sheet. We really appreciate that. Dumbo looks like an absolute mess, turning the puck over, four times? And looking like, again, I heard that there was a part where Tom Reed during the radio broadcast said, what is he looking at? Like, he's just kind of standing there and confused looking. So it's kind of sad. Like, what are we going to get for Dumba? It's like, is he turning into like a Mike Riley level defenseman? When Mike Riley was on Minnesota, he got better magically after he left, and I'm sure Dumba will too, which is too bad. Because really, you know, from Boudreaux to Dean Evason, they're both frustrated with Matt Dumba. Obviously they love his personality, a good guy and all that. standing up for that, that's his he's giving his opinion, which is, you know, that's America. But generally speaking, it's he's fallen off the face of the earth. It's safe to say. So it's not about hating on Dumba. It's just facing the facts. He's fallen off the face of the earth. He truly has. Sam Steele, a lot of people are like, you know, a fairly popular Twitter account that does a show on one of the popular show feeds out there, we'll say, was like Sam Steele, hockey player, you know, like Sam Steele, period, hockey player. Like, okay, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's a hockey player. That doesn't necessarily mean he's a super good hockey player, though, does it? And he's been Steele the Friendly Ghost. I mean, I'll put me in the camp that just wants Sammy Walker up here, whether it's for Greenway, whether it's for whoever, Mason Shaw. I don't know. I mean, Mason Shaw, unfortunately, has been the 13th forward for quite a while now. Ryan Hartman was scratched in this game because of how he played like dog dookie, basically, for quite a while, obviously. And he got the stupid, you know, quotes from Dean Evason. Alex Goligoski's been the seventh defenseman most of the season, much to his chagrin, I'm sure, but it's his age. It just is what it is. He's kind of an insurance policy at this stage. Would have liked to have seen him in Hockey Minnesota. It's kind of been a tradition. A Minnesota player ends up being a hero. The Wild tend to win those games in overtime, and it's often been a Minnesota player winning it one way or another. It's kind of cool, but it did go to overtime. Both of these games went to overtime. The Wild did cough up points, but fortunately for us, these points that were given to the teams that did not win, thankfully, are in the Eastern Conference, so it doesn't affect us at all. It doesn't, unless somehow we go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, and us giving them a point, you know, put them in the playoffs, and they beat us in the Cup Final, you know, some magic run. But yeah, what are the odds of all that happening? we'll see. I didn't think the Vikings were going to make the greatest comeback in NFL history either, but boy, that sure meant a whole lot a month later, didn't it? Boy, it meant a lot. Oh, God. It jump-started this team to the Super Bowl run of the ages. We got past Phil. Yeah, we didn't get past the first round even. So, speaking of Philadelphia, yes, I'm on the Eagles side because I cannot stand the Chiefs. And Travis Kelce made an absolute ass of himself at the end of that game. I'm sorry. You might think that's cool. You might think I'm an old curmudgeon. I'm an old curmudgeon. Yeah, fine. I'm an old curmudgeon. Travis Kelce made an ass of himself. And I'm glad we don't see a whole lot of that kind of jackass attitude at the end of hockey games. It's pretty rare. Thank God. I mean, you thought he was at a frat party and he's like, you know, you thought he's some 19-year-old dipshit. Okay, I'll use the word. You know, at some frat party, you know, obviously like underage drinking and making a lot of noise. That's pretty much what he acted like. Now that I got that off my chest, because I had to, just looking at the word Philadelphia made me think about all that. So I apologize. Fly, Eagle, fly. Just for 2 weeks, I'm an Eagles fan because I can't stand the Chiefs and I can't stand the Eagles either. But I can be a fan of theirs for just 2 weeks temporarily. But the Minnesota Wild do get the job done. Zuccarello, obviously one of the better goals of the season, between the legs of the defender into the net. That was awesome. And Boldy somehow was able to get an assist along with Kalen Addison along with that. So a fun game, a frustrating game, but a fun game. I mean, the Philadelphia managed to muck it up pretty good. But Marc-Andre Fleury made the saves he needed to. Obviously, nobody's perfect, but he made the saves he needed to. And similarly, and more impressively, versus a much better offense in the Buffalo Sabres, who unfortunately don't have the best record ever because of kind of a crappy start to the season. But we'll see. There's still a chance. Maybe they're the team that's going to go all the way to the Cup Final. you never know. I mean, crazy things have happened, right? Apologize. I was about to snap here as this was not loading. I don't know if Yahoo had some kind of hiccup or whatever, or my actual internet, so I apologize. The Buffalo Sabres wearing the better uniforms. I'm sorry. Yep, and I know. Yep, and it's okay. You can like the rebrand look or the retro rebrand. And the cool part about it is it does take you back in time. That's the good part. Even if you don't like the look, I like the classic Buffalo Sabres look more. It's funny how the quote unquote modern ones, the ones they wear at most of the games now, is actually more retro than the reverse retro. It's kind of funny because it is in a lot of ways. Maybe it's a more modernized version of the original look of the Buffalo Sabres, but it still to me appears classic, like the Pat LaFontaine days. So, which is what I'm talking about when I think about retro Buffalo, I think about Pat LaFontaine more than I think about Dominik Hasek and Miroslav Shatan, guys like that. If I said the name correctly, but Shatan, either way, it was a very, very, very good team, and it was the glory years of the Buffalo Sabres, unfortunately, even though they had some really good teams in the early 90s, if I remember correctly. They had some dangerous teams. They gave the North Stars hell sometimes. They're pretty tough. Back then, I remember thinking, that team's pretty good. You know, guys like Pat LaFontaine, obviously. But now they're kind of good again, finally. It took, you know, 20 years, 23 years, but they're finally good again. And I'm a big fan. Rasmus Dahlin had a goal disallowed at the end of the second period that would have given the Sabres the lead because it just didn't cross the line fast enough. It was a good goal otherwise, but he ran out of time, laddie. He ran out of time. The Wild kept Casey Mittelstadt off the board, kept Alex Tuck off the board, kept Tage Thompson off the board. I mean, stuff like that. Good goaltending by Marc-Andre Fleury. And good defense in front of him. The Wild did not dominate, but we did We did well in the puck possession battle, we'll say. Did manage 35 shots on goal against Lukanen, who'd made the All-Star team, apparently. He had a great game as well. It was a nice goalie duo. Both of them only gave up 2 goals in the game. But Marc-Andre Fleury was a little bit better in the shootout, and Frédéric Gaudreau was fantastic. Obviously, Lukanen gave up goals to multiple players in that shootout. Obviously, Zuccarello and Freddie Gaudreau with a beautiful play, obviously. Kirill Kaprizov with that flip that he does, that is just incredible. So it was pretty much as easy as 1-2-3. Lukanen, I can imagine the frustration, but that's how it goes. Sam Steele, are you ready for a big shot? No points. No points. Matt Boldy, well, unfortunately, no points after a great Philadelphia game. So that's how that goes. Ryan Hartman returns and he was Ryan Hartman, basically, without as many infractions, at least. I'm trying to remember. Did he get a penalty? I don't think he did. No, he did not. So he stayed out of the box at the very least. Wild, actually, generally speaking, pretty good in that category in this game. Dang, only Connor DeWeer, right? Well, I'll be daggone. Yep, I almost forgot about that. Yeah, that's amazing. So, wonderful job staying out of the box for the Minnesota Wild. And Buffalo had, 4 penalties in the game? Only 1 for Minnesota in the whole game. So maybe the refs are favoring the Wild. Yep. I don't know. Greenway, as usual, nothing. But, I don't know, whatever. You can only bash on people too much, I suppose. But there's always room for bashing. Equal opportunity basher, right? Jewel Eriksson Ek was able to get yet another goal, and he's on pace for 69 points. He's actually maintained that pace. Boldy's on pace for about 61 now, so he's a little ahead of where he was earlier, when a lot of us were thinking, is he really somebody you want to sign for this amount of money and stuff like that? People were kind of worried about that, but I personally believe it's going to work out. I personally believe it does, mostly as long as he stays healthy. There's something there, and again, the complaint that's been going on during the course of the season is, obviously, again, I mean, it's like he's playing on a third line when you consider who he's playing with. You have what Hartman and Gaudreau? That's not going to get it done. So when he's out there on the power play with the Kaprizovs of the world, it's like a completely different player. So obviously with Kevin Fiala, completely different player. He looked like a future star in the league, like an 80-point guy. It's pretty much what he played at, an 80-point pace. So obviously it's a damn shame that that's how that thing went. Fiala's on pace for, 85, I believe, with the Kings this year, and he made the All-Star team. So, again, good for him. We'll get to see him play. If you actually want to watch the All-Star events, I don't know. Most of us don't. But the skills competitions can be fun, though. It can be, but, yeah, it can be. Sometimes it's not that great either. The one position, though, I think that is obviously worse for anybody in the All-Star game, it's the goalie, and it's been that way forever. It's a firing squad one way or another, whether it's 5-on-5 back in the Gretzky, Lemieux, and Brett Hull, and all those guys going up against Ed Belfour and Tom Barrasso or something like that. It is what it is. But, I mean, you know, when the final score is something like 9-8, it's like, yeah, you're just butchering the goalies out there. And then they come back and they're not as good. So that kind of sucks. Carolina, is Buffalo... I have to look at this real quick. Apologize for... Yeah, they are. So they have multiple... I thought they did. They have multiple kind of reverse retro looks this year. They're wearing like white versions with the classic colors with that rebrand Buffalo logo. Interesting. I don't like it. it's okay. Actually, it's okay. I won't say I don't like it, but they look kind of like... I don't know. What do they look like? Something else. They look like something else. I don't know what it is. Maybe like an AHL team, kind of. But that's okay. AHL teams are totally, totally fine. I appreciate the AHL very much. Without the AHL, things wouldn't be as good in the NHL, of course. But no, an entertaining game, nonetheless. Definitely a lot lower scoring than I expected, but... That's partially why the Wild won. We were able to kind of play our game, a more defensive style versus last year's more open style, because it was a very talented offense. Like we were kind of like Buffalo last year in a lot of ways, with a better record, great goal scoring, but mediocre goaltending generally speaking. And then this year the goaltending's been way better. And to Lukanen's credit, he was good in the game. So he was able to kind of sort of match it until we got to the shootout, which is kind of annoying on our side. Like, why couldn't we get it done before that? But, well, it is what it is. We're kind of limited offensively, if you hadn't noticed. Again, Julius Janek, though, is on pace for almost 70 points this year, so he's definitely living up to his contract. But, like, you cancel out Ryan Hartman, basically his last year's, you know, you could say fluke or head fake or whatever you want to call it, which is kind of what it was. It's like a stock market term. Like, hey, wow, look at that. It went way... Oh, come on. Jeez, I thought this was going to be a lasting thing. Great. It's like $10, 45 bucks, $8. Oh, we're actually behind where we were last time around. Wow, you just got your shirt eaten. So that's kind of what it's like if you bought stock in Ryan Hartman late last season. Holy cow, you're holding the bag, as we like to say. But... This was good. It's nice to see the Wild play a little more disciplined game. Dumba continues to stink. Let's just be honest. It's funny how they don't really show turnovers here unless you go to like some kind of advanced stats. Take and give. Well, there's a give, but you're not seeing a whole lot there. Yeah, but yeah, take and give, give and take. I like that. I like that they have that in there. It's kind of interesting, but yeah. I mean, Dumba played better in the Buffalo game. Generally, the Philadelphia game, he was an absolute mess. But luckily, Marc-Andre Fleury, outstanding in both games. And at the end of the day, that's going to get him the Mike Modano Award for this week. And he also got it for Minnesota Wild Global, most deservedly. Pavel Bennett coming in out of Czechia, which thankfully I do have listeners from Czechia, according to the metrics on Megaphone. Really appreciate that. Really appreciate you. And hello, Czechia. But no, yep, he put up the graphic that Marc-Andre Fleury has won the Player of the Week, and absolutely, I don't have any disagreement with that. He had a wonderful week, per se. So, I don't know, this take-give thing, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what it's... Nah, I don't know. I'm going to leave that alone for now. I wanted to look at something. But, and overall, again, Dumba's generally been a mess. Is he the James Sheppard Award winner for this week? I'm going to probably give it to another guy this time because you can't just go on the same guy and just beat a dead horse over and over and over again and we'll hopefully get a 7th-round pick for him in a trade, or we'll just kind of give him away and give somebody else a 1st-round pick like the Wolves did with Andrew Wiggins, and then he goes on and wins an NBA championship and plays way better for another team that I really don't like called the Golden State Warriors. but enough of that. It's going to go to Sam Steele, Mr. the other friendly ghost on the team who tends to disappear and has really disappeared. I can't remember the last time he's really factored much offensively. He plays a sound game and everything, but he's just not that good. I don't know. It's just not a whole lot to brag about. His overall numbers are okay. 8 goals, 14 assists, 22 points. He's a plus 10. I mean, those are nice and everything, but I want to look at, he's last scored a point versus the Arizona Coyotes. And it was an assist, a single assist, on January 14th. So he's had 6 games in a row with absolutely nothing. And he's been a minus 3 over the course of that time. Now, to be fair, he had a 3-game spurt where he had 4 points, where he had 3 goals, 1 goal, 3 assists. So he had some little runs, but yeah, he's been completely invisible, generally speaking. Heck, he had a run in November where there was literally nothing. Holy cow, that was even worse. So it's not the first time. I'm sure he'll get back in the, he'll start factoring in the scoring again, but clearly not a top 6 guy. He's not. He's a 3rd-line center. He's a 3rd-line, maybe even 4th-line center, depending on the team. And even if he's a 4th-line center, I don't think it's the end of the world for him. He's not going to be pissed off. I think he'd much rather be a 4th-line center than be a top-line, you know, guy like Nick Batan, who had a hat trick this past week in Iowa. I think Nick Batan would much rather be a 4th-line player here in Minnesota than in Iowa. So Sam Steele, obviously he's an NHL player, sure, but yeah, he's not the guy some of you may have thought he was. He's just not. Jared Spurgeon had a wonderful goal in the game, no doubt about that. Always appreciate Julius Erickson-Eck and what he can do. He's awesome. Even Spurgeon's on pace for 40 points this year, 40 plus. So that's great, absolutely awesome, and great goaltending by Marc-Andre Fleury. With that, we'll take a quick break and come back and preview the upcoming games and look at the prospects as well. back here on Brave the Wild preview and prospect segment is what segment number two is. And of course, we'll hear from DraftKings in a moment. We'll be playing the Arizona Coyotes and the Dallas Stars. The Arizona Coyotes, Dallas Stars are going on to a Southwest trip, south to Southwest trip, which is probably something a lot of us would like, particularly as we head into Friday here. Today it's not super cold, but it's getting there. And then kind of overnight it's about to freeze again, like 14 below. So welcome to Thompson, Manitoba, which is where Dean Evason's from. He's from. We were pretty used to the cold up there in Thompson, Manitoba. It's pretty cold, you know, so we're kind of used to it. Kind of pisses me off sometimes when people complain about the cold. It's kind of stupid. Just kidding. I had to do that. I really did. DraftKings, yes, Super Bowl time. Yay. But they're not going to talk about the Super Bowl, interestingly enough. NBA fans. Yep. All right. NBA fans, it's time to bring the hoops action to the palm of your hand with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing customers, yep, you know all those AT&T commercials, yeah, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game, and if it doesn't hit, you'll get a free bet back. So, yep, it's always enjoyable. It's a lot of fun to kind of, right now, betting on the Timberwolves is a lot of fun. And getting Anthony Edwards, you know, with his wonderful numbers. So, as I've talked about on Timberwolves Explosion nonstop, that's obviously a Timberwolves show. But it is, yeah, I mean, it's very enjoyable to keep up with that. And to, Anthony Edwards' numbers have been absolutely great. And Timberwolves are fun to watch lately. So, jump to it. Download the app now, that would be the DraftKings app, and sign up with code THPN. New customers can bet $5 in the NBA and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. So Columbus Blue Jackets fans and Cleveland Cavaliers fans and Cincinnati Bengals, unfortunately, fans. Yeah, well, it is what it is. It's void in Ohio, so understood. Arizona Coyotes, who are they? Well, they're Clayton Keller's team, I guess. Somebody named Clayton Keller used to have Darcy Kemper, guys like that. You know, it's kind of cool. But if only they weren't a total mess, I would love to play for Arizona. I like that they've gone back to the old logo and the old look. It's good. It's good. I liked it at the time, and I like it now. Injuries for the Coyotes. Gotis Berhe, okay, expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks, according to Craig Morgan, of the Phoenix Sports. Going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. No information regarding that, maybe a sprain or whatever the heck it is. Liam O'Brien, suffered an upper body injury. At least we know if it's on the upper or lower variety. Otherwise, he's hurt, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. All right, well, I mean, I understand to a point in hockey, it's a chippy sport at times where maybe like you broke your finger and guys are going to hack away at your hand when you come back, which is Bush League bull crap. But I mean, I don't know. That's sports, I guess, sometimes. Yeah. Oh, like Zach Parise had obviously he was just coming back from back surgery. The guy starts shoving him in the back on purpose. And Parise's like, what are you doing? You know, like, come on. It's so dumb. But O'Brien suffered an upper body injury Friday, December the 16th, against the Islanders in his week-to-week. So, okay, that sucks. Andrew Ladd, who was out from about 1985 until 2022, was placed on injured reserve as of whenever that was. A long time ago, months ago. So, I don't know, Andrew Ladd. Andrew Ladd. Yeah, he did start playing in 1985 pretty much. Minnesota Wild lead the season series 2-0, but we've only won by a goal in each game. 4-3 over the Coyotes in XL Energy Center. 2-1. The 4-3 win was on November 27th after Thanksgiving, and then Saturday, January 14th, very recently, Minnesota Wild beat Arizona in a not very fun game, 2-1, where we were just kind of like playing around, like, okay, let's see if I can do this, and it didn't go in. Oh, darn. It's like we were trying to be like the Harlem Globetrotters of hockey when we're not even close. And yeah, yeah, we barely beat them. The next two games will be in Arizona. Enjoy the weather, I hope. Monday, February the 6th, and Sunday, March 12th. We'll finally get freaking hockey again on Monday, February the 6th. So that's always a good thing. Sunday, March 12th. So both weekend-type games coming up in Zona. Season series, obviously, Wild are up 2-0. Arizona and Minnesota comparisons and such. Wild are 23rd in goals. Arizona's 30th. Minnesota Wild, 7th in goals against. Arizona, 24th. So they're lower echelon in pretty much major categories here. Power play, the Wild are 9th. 9th place, pretty good. 26th for the Arizona Coyotes in power play. 15th penalty kill for the Wild. 26th. So 26th in both special teams and penalty minutes. Holy crap. So 26 seems to be a popular number in Arizona right now. Okay. Connor DeWeer or something, huh? They're asking for Connor DeWeer. Penalty kill, 26. Penalty minutes, 26. And all that cute stuff. The actual players and all that. Again, Coyotes are 16-28-6. They're better than last year, but that's not saying much. It's really not saying much. And, boy, you get to see a goaltender with a save percentage of 90.7, which is actually pretty high. Goals against average of 3.19, which is not good. And 3 shutouts on the season. So he's actually a decent goalie. This Karel Vejmelka. I'm probably not Vejmelka. I'm no chance of pronouncing it correctly. And I'll probably hear from somebody one way or another like, Joey, you got it wrong. Just like Yaroslav Spachek, right? Spachek, right? Did I say it right this time? I hope. You know, I was saying it right, and then I went like Spacek and Spachek and, you know, Spachek. Yes, Spachek. Connor Ingram, pronunciation police. But you know what? In hockey, I think it's good. If you're a pronunciation police, you are on the right side, I think, because it's good. If it's good to actually say it correctly, and it's good to know, and I feel like a dope when I don't. So, you know, just like Clayton Keeler and Nick Schmaltz, you know, those guys. Okay, I'm just teasing. Could you imagine if I butchered those? That'd be pretty embarrassing. Connor Ingram, I think I can get that right. Connor Ingram, 3-11 on the season, 3.59, save percentage of 90. No shutouts, but yeah, the other guy. Let's get to him, though. Mr. V here. Mr. Karel V. He's actually been a decent goaltender for Arizona, when you think about it. I mean, when you think about what's going on in front of him, he's actually done a good job. 13-17, 4 overtime losses and the 3 shutouts. Undrafted, and he is coming in from the Czech Republic, which is Czechia, right? Which is basically Czechia. So I apologize to Pavel Bennett if you're listening for butchering Mr. Karel's name. I'm probably not even saying that right. Undrafted, but born in 96, still got something. He's probably got a shot there. Sometimes those undrafted free agents end up being a hell of a lot better than somebody taken in the second or third round. So I'd probably rather have that guy than Hunter Jones right now. But Hunter's a lot younger, so we'll see. Maybe not time to give up on him just yet. Clayton Keller is leading the club in scoring. He's having a better season than last year. 41 points with 18 goals on the year in 50 games. Nick Bjugstad with 21 points. Good for him. So good for Nick Bjugstad. And not getting hit in the finger, basically, from Zuccarello getting frustrated, swinging his stick around in practice. So thank you, Zucks, right? I'm sure he was not too happy about that. I wouldn't be. Bjugstad is tied for 3rd on the team in goals, which, again, says a lot about the Arizona Coyotes. Bjugstad is a nice little player, but, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's a first-round pick level at this stage of his career, maybe at the beginning. 11 goals, 10 assists in 50 games, but playing every game. Jakob Chychrun would be a very expensive trade possibility for somebody out there. 25 points in 34 games. He's missed a significant amount of time, but when he's healthy, he's probably the best player on the Arizona Coyotes. Nick Schmaltz, old Schmaltz is old himself, formerly of the Blackhawks. 11 goals and 17 assists for 28 points in 34 games, just like Chychrun. Almost the same numbers, almost. Not quite. Lawson Kroos, 16 goals, number 2 on the team, and 28 total points. So good for him. Shane Gostisbehere out for a long time, unfortunately. He's obviously one of the better players as well. But unfortunately, he has an injury. Old trade me the heck out of here. I'm a fourth line player for Arizona. Jack McBain, 50 games, 10 points, 6 goals. So, I don't know, Jack. I don't know. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. That's pretty much what Bill Guerin said. I don't know. There's no excuse the Wild should get the job done here. Something like 4-3. I say that at 4-3. 4-3, really? 4-3? 4-1. 4-1. Just beat them 4-1. And I like Arizona, but beat them 4-1. That's all I got to tell you. multiple goal game. I am seeing multiple goal games here. I'm going to pick Matt Boldy to do it again. You know, I forgot that I was actually successful picking Matt Boldy to get two goals against Philadelphia. I'm pretending to be psychic or something, which I'm absolutely not. Matt Boldy, two goals against the Arizona Coyotes in the Wild, went 4-1. 4-1. Philip Gustafson. My apologies to the Portland native. Philip Gustafson is going to only give up one goal. He's going to have a nice return coming back after a little frustration, but he will be back in the net and will only give up a single goal versus the Arizona Coyotes. Multiple goal game by Boldy. Dallas Stars. All right. First place club in the Western Conference and all that. Yeah, great. I don't know. They're kind of like the Philadelphia Eagles or something to me, basically, when it comes to the NHL. And, you know, a lot of people from St. Louis hate the Cardinals for similar reasons. You know, I stayed a Stars fan for a long time after they moved away. But eventually, once the Wild came around, and, you know, I don't know. It's like you barely remember they played here before. I remember the North Stars themselves, but I don't think about this team as what they were. Great season series for the most part. The Wild with an epic game, but an epic frickin' blown lead. But still ended up surviving miraculously in the shootout. 3-2 in the shootout, but 6-5 overall. The Wild took a 5-1 lead back on December the 4th, only to watch it disappear and go to a shootout. A freaking shootout. But somehow escaped by God's grace, basically. 6-5 technically in that one. Whew! That was scary and really frustrating. Dallas and Minnesota, again, Dallas beat us pretty good in XL Energy Center. So the road team has won both games so far. December 29th, during Christmas break, as I like to call it. That was not a good day at all. Kirill Kaprizov, no surprise, managed to get the only goal in the game. No surprise for so many reasons. And obviously the ongoing rivalry with Robertson. So it kind of is what it is. Jason Robertson, who's a rising star with Dallas, just like Kaprizov has been a rising star with Minnesota. Ottinger is one of the best goalies in the league. Dallas just kind of put the pounding on us. It's like whatever momentum they had in that 5-1 comeback was in full force, I know, a month later. Like, that doesn't make sense, but it kind of felt like it was still there. Dallas dominated the puck and dominated us in that game. The Wild only mustered 24 shots on Ottinger and scored once. Wah, frickin' who. So, it's obviously an important series for Minnesota fans in general. But also, again, you want to make the playoffs. You want to be able to compete against a team like this. So, it is what it is. Talent up and down the place. Ottinger is one of the best goalies in the NHL. And again, coming out of Lakeville, same place that Nate Dogg Thiessen, God rest his soul, came from. 2.26 goals against average. Save percentage of 92.3 and 4 shutouts on the season. Scott Wedgwood also has managed a shutout. 5 total shutouts for the Dallas Stars this season. Great goaltending. They're 4th in the league. 8th in goals, 4, basically. Power plays 4th, penalty kill is 2nd. Remember when the North Stars used to have the number 1 penalty kill in the NHL? It was like all the time. It was the last 2 years or so they were here. They had the best penalty kill in the league. I remember their power play being kind of middle of the road. Penalty minutes, they're 20th. So interesting there. So, yeah. I did it again, man. I'm going to backtrack a little bit where you talk about what the teams have done. Arizona, real quick, they are 2-3 in their last 5. I did it again, man. Jeez. So the two opponents we're going to play, Arizona, of course, lost the game to Dallas, 4-0 in Dallas. They beat Vegas 4-1. Wow. Yeah, Vegas has been struggling and the injuries are mounting again and it's annoying. I don't know. And it looks like it's not working as great. Both teams that I like, Vegas and Calgary, things aren't going so hot. 5-2 loss to Anaheim. What's up, Arizona? And then a 5-0 win. Wow. Versus St. Louis. And a 2-1 loss to Anaheim. 2 losses to the Ducks. What the... It rhymes with duck and starts with F. Yeah, you get the idea. Yeah, you really do. Dallas Stars. Okay, I talked about all the cute statistics and everything. They are 2-3 in their last five. They won their first two here. 4-0, 4-0. Jeez. Okay. Los Angeles, 4-0. Arizona, 4-0. Yep. Buffalo, they lost 3-2. These are home games now. The only road game was the LA game. Buffalo, 3-2 loss. Carolina, 3-2 loss. New Jersey, 3-2 loss. Eastern Conference teams coming in and getting the job done. Really impressive, actually. Dallas Stars only mustering, you know, two goals a game there during that little stretch. That homestand versus Buffalo, Carolina, New Jersey, they came in and beat them up a little bit. Good for them. Good for them, because I'm not cheering for Dallas at all. Jason Robertson actually is on pace for phenomenal numbers. 33 goals, 33 assists. Jeez, 20 plus 26 on the season. He's played in every game. Yeah. Joel Pavelski played in every game. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I know. I don't like to see guys get hurt, even though I don't want them to beat us. 14 goals, 34 assists. Ageless wonder. He's on pace for like 78 points or something. 48 total points. He's a plus 31. He's been phenomenal again. Roop Hintz, who had a hat trick against us in that game where they made the great comeback but lost. Thank God. 4-6 win, or 46 points anyway for Roop Hintz. He's on pace for good numbers. Miro Heiskanen, who was more of a stay-at-home guy, has become an offensive juggernaut, and he's one of the better defensemen in the NHL now. 40 total points. Jamie Benn, 44. He's picked it up after a crappy season last year. Sagan, kind of okay. He's okay. He's better than last year. Both of those guys were way down, but they're definitely aging now. 34 points. Former Minnesota Wild watch, of course. I think you've heard of him. Ryan Suter with only 13 points in 51 games. Not quite demanding the ice time he once was, where, no, I'm playing, and you better shut your mouth, basically. He basically acted like, he's probably like Travis Kelce. Know your role and shut your mouth. It's like, no, you shut your mouth. You're going to be the one shutting your mouth, and the Eagles kick your butt. Because they will, believe me, they will. The Chiefs are not winning the Super Bowl. Watch me eat crow in a couple of weeks, but I don't know. Whatever. They're not gonna beat the Eagles though. I'll be very surprised. Ryan Suter again. Know your role and shut your mouth. Yeah, that could come back on you, and it will. It's gonna come back on Kelce. It will, and it's gonna come back on Suter too, because I'm sure he basically said that to Mike Yeo a couple of times, maybe in different terms. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't as dopey about it as Travis Kelce. Great tight end, but just a dope. The Wild's chances of winning this game are, well, there's always a chance. It's going to be on the road. We actually won on the road last time around. I think the Wild split. I think they split. So we're going to, which again, will it three-game win streak, and then, of course, it ends with, you know, of course, it ends at three. Hope and pray to God that it doesn't start a losing streak. Looking at the future schedule, will it do that? It better not, because I'm going to be pissed. Enough with the three-game losing streaks, okay? We're never going to win anything if we're going to just go 500. I mean, that's 500 hockey. That's dog dookie. Now Yahoo is doing its thing again where it's not responding to me. Oh, Lord. Don't you love that? I am not understanding what's happening, but finally got it to go here after getting really mad. Anyhow, the Wild will play Vegas on Thursday, New Jersey on Saturday, Florida. Oh, boy. And Colorado. Ooh. Well, giddy up, guys. Let's go. I mean, it's go time, as they say in the sports world. It's go time. It is. Dallas, Vegas, New Jersey, Florida, Colorado, Dallas again. Nashville, L.A., Columbus, Toronto, da, da. This is a tough month, very tough month, and welcome to February, since I didn't officially say that. Ooh, yeah, it's go time. I mean, if you're going to make the playoffs and freaking do something for once in the playoffs, well, for the first time in several years now, what was the last time, 2015? 2015, really? Yeah, that's a long time. It's go time. It's quite simple. Otherwise, okay, if you're not good enough to make the playoffs, don't trade away your first round pick. Just don't do it, please. Don't do what Chuck Fletcher did, you know, more than once, and then you wind up with like four players in like second, third, fourth round. Yeah, ooh, we're gonna win it all now with these guys. That was a terrible draft, actually. Was it Luke? that wasn't Luke Cunningham. It was that other guy, even Lodnia, who didn't do anything. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think it's a split, though. Dallas wins, final score 5-3. Kirill Kaprizov scores 2 goals in the game. Yes, I think Boldy and Kaprizov each have multiple goal games, but it's a split. Now that I've babbled way the F too much, I better know my role and shut my mouth, right? Yeah, I don't know. Why am I getting that in my head now? That was the most obnoxious thing I ever heard. Well, one of the most obnoxious things I've heard lately. Let's just jump right into the prospects. Brock Faber for the number one team in the nation, the Golden Gophers. That's right. Career high in points now, 20. 3 goals, 17 assists. Couple of assists this past week. Awesome. Actually, he had 3 points this past week. 28 games so far. And again, the number one team in the nation, crushing Michigan State. We split with Michigan the week before, but crushed Michigan State. Impressive. What was it, like a 12-3, I think, difference? Unbelievable in just 2 games. So, really exciting. Ohio State's, what, a top five team coming in, so that's going to be really interesting. But Brock Faber, go get him done. Go get him done, Captain. He's like a super Spurgeon right now for the for the Golden Gophers, and hopefully he continues to do so. I'm very, you know, excited about the possibility of that team going all the way, man, and I hope so. Iowa continues to play very well. Yes, Jesper Wahlstedt is just dominating. He's becoming a fantastic player. What is he like? 8-0-0, right, in his most recent games. He's incredible now. 13-7-3 on the season. Save percentage of 91.2. Goals against average 2.59. He's officially the starting goalie now for the Iowa Wild. That's safe to say. Zane McIntyre was so good last year. He was good. I shouldn't say so good, but he was good. Goals against average of 3.15. 9-7 on the year, and a save percentage of 89.4. But the team in front of him hadn't been playing well. Sam Henches. I still say it's Henches because, well, like, I mean, put it this way. Vice President of Operations at Boston Scientific. Formerly Maple Grove. Now they moved him to Arden Hills, or he moved himself. I don't know, because I think he lives closer to there. so I know how to say Henches. It's not Henkes. It's Henches. They might be related. It's quite possible. Scored his first goal in the AHL this past week. Finally came back after being out forever. So congratulations, Sam Henches. In fact, that was just yesterday, actually, in another win for Iowa. Wahlstedt did give up 3 goals. That's just terrible, but that's okay. He's not perfect every time. Milne continuing to play that gritty style, and you know, he's gonna come around. He's still super young, with 7 points in 30 games. Sammy Walker continuing to play. He had a multi-point game again, 20 goals, 19 assists, 39 points, and deserves to be in the National Hockey League eventually. He better be. Poor guy. Nick Baton, one of the best. One of the best juniors and AHL players you'll ever see. Unfortunately, he's quad A when it comes to the NHL. Hat trick. 25 games and 32 total points. He's been phenomenal at the AHL level at age 27. Coming out of Delta, British Columbia. Nick Patton has been wonderful for the Iowa Wild. And he's one of those guys. He's helping them play better. And he's a nice emergency replacement. 14th forward, you could say, for the Minnesota Wild. I'm sorry to say it, but that's pretty much what he is. Joe Hicketts is like an eighth defenseman. You probably get the drift. I've made enough of a point now. Marco Rossi, now with 8 goals and 18 assists, kind of maintaining that slightly above a point a game average. Nick Sweeney's been playing significantly better since coming back. Slow start to the season, then was hurt. He was stuck at 14 games forever. Now he's at 29. He was able to get more points again, 9 goals and 8 assists. He does play more of a gritty bottom six type of style, but at the AHL level, you expect a little more, at least middle six, if not top six. You got to think he's top six at the AHL level, but I don't know. Damon Hunt still stuck at 6 points, but continuing to mature and grow. Ryan O'Rourke with 7 assists in 41 games. Similar thing there, where he's getting, you know, he's just kind of gradually getting a little better, and kind of like taking his time there. Jeffrey's out for the season. I forget, was it an ACL or something? But yeah, he's out for the season regardless. So it sucks. It's probably something like that, unfortunately. So Adam Beckman is kind of, you know, he's kind of in and out. He's the second leading goal scorer on the team, but only 8 assists. And you know he's got good passing skills. His first NHL point was a pretty nice play behind the net, remember? So That was at the beginning of last season. He's still 21 years of age, coming out of Saskatoon. Yeah, I like that. I love that name. Saskatoon is awesome. Conversation has been floating around lately that maybe Rossi is just a bottom six guy in the NHL. That he'll have a nice career. He'll play his 500-600 games, whatever, or 1,000 games, who knows. But he's not going to be the elite prospect that people thought. That could be the case. It could be. As they're just kind of not seeing that special player that we thought we were seeing in the OHL. So it's unfortunate. I hope he's not like Nick Paton. That would be a huge disappointment. Nick Paton was a second-round pick. So not nearly as high expectations for the 43rd overall. He's only 5'9", 175. Again, Delta, British Columbia. But he's a wonderful AHL player. Rossi, I think he's going to be in the NHL for sure, like a regular in the NHL. But people are talking about maybe if you're going to make a trade for somebody significant, that might be the key. That maybe trade Rossi before people figure out that maybe he's just a bottom six guy in the NHL. That I want to believe he's a top six player still. I truly want to believe that. But I don't know. We'll see. It's not there yet, and that's why the Wild are in no rush to bring him up, unfortunately. But that's what I've been hearing. I'm not a genius about it. Some of you see more than I do, like with the way a player skates and the way they they react to certain situations and all that. Some guys you can just tell right away there's something there, and they're underrated and this and that. To me, that's Sammy Walker. Sammy Walker, you just like almost right away. It's like, oh yeah. That's an NHL guy. who should not be stuck where he is, but we have like 19 Sam Steeles on the team who are, you know, like, he deserves to be in the NHL. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, that kind of thing. And then you got Greenway is making $3 million and blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. Greenway versus Walker, and on Greenway, you know, you break up that line, it's never the same again. And I don't know. I'd love to see Sammy Walker with a permanent fixture in the National Hockey League, because I do think things will happen. The positive direction. Let's go to the Euro prospects, if I can. I got to fight through the 19 ads. Major shout out, of course, to Hockey Database. Love Hockey Database very much. Again, and really appreciate everything they do. Liam Ugrin, this is on Elite Prospects for the two Euro guys. So it's just the way that Elite Prospects does these. So I'm going to have to go that direction here. No disrespect, of course, to Hockey Database, who is my go-to, no doubt. For the Sweden under 20 all international junior, 4 points, 12 games, 2 goals, 2 assists, 17 points on for Hockey Allsvenskan, 10 goals, 7 assists now, 17 total points in 30 games for Djurgården. Yep, so Hockey Allsvenskan. I apologize, I can't do it. I'm sounding more and more like Sid Hartman, and the screen is turning white. Don't you love when the screen turns white? I mean, I don't know. It's really annoying, actually. That's a bad sign. I don't know if it's my internet or something else, but something's not cooking here, and I apologize. Danila, you're off. Only one more on this page, because, again, the ads are overwhelming. And I understand you want ads, just like I want ads on this show. You bet I do. You bet I do. KHL, yep, now he's at 49 games, 11 total points. So, again, just getting started. Don't forget, he's 18 years of age, and the KHL is something you want to put in perspective. He did have 11 points in 10 games for the MHL, which is, I'll say again, for maybe somebody listening to the show and doesn't pay attention to that too much. That's the AHL of the KHL, if you get the idea. Like the Russian National Hockey League, basically. That's the KHL of it, the AAA, you know. So the actual NHL, the main one, the KHL. This is an 18-year-old player with 11 points in 49 games. So, again, at least he's in the professional level already. Guys in the past that have struggled so much that can't even get anywhere, and it's extremely frustrating. They can't do anything in the AHL, and yay, they're like okay in the ECHL. They're pretty much screwed, which is unfortunate. Like, you like to root for them, but I don't know. You're kind of like woohoo, you know, at the end of the day. Let's get to some of those. This is going to be kind of random here. I talked about Sam Hentges already and really appreciate him. Why did I go to this one? But yeah, Hovanov has been struggling mightily. generally speaking. I'm going to look at him real quick because I know he's overseas. He's not going to play for the Wild, but see, it's just this is an example. Like, I don't think Yurov is Hovanov. I don't think so. Hovanov has played only 7 games in the KHL throughout his career, and that was 2 years ago and didn't have anything. So put that into perspective. As great as Hovanov was at the junior level, couldn't do much at the pro level, even at the AHL, only 5 points in 22 games last season, and in the ECHL, 6 points in 8 games. It's just, and in the VHL, which is like, you know, the, which is probably like the ECHL level for, it pretty much is. It's pretty much the ECHL for Russia. Yeah, and it's just average. He's like half a point a game. So, too bad. God, Hovanov looks so promising for the Moncton Wildcats. Oh, gosh, it hurts because I really liked him. I really did. I liked what I saw. I feel like I'm spinning all over my computer. That's disgusting. What the heck? Ugh. Let's go to Boston College here. Nikita Nesterenko. Yes, he is Russian, but from New York. He's a Russian New Yorker, Boston College. This will ever load. Why did I go here? Oh, I'm done. Go away. Okay, let's go to this one instead. I apologize. I just don't want to have all that scrolling my computer down anymore. Okay, Hockey Database. Thank you very much. 21 points in 24 games, 5 goals, 16 assists. Definitely been a playmaker throughout his career, as it shows in his previous years at the Boston College and the Chilliwack Chiefs. He had 36 assists. Feels like 19 years ago I covered him with the BCHL. 1920, wow. So, yep, he went to college since then, and he's been okay. Nothing great. Doesn't stand out like he's holy crap. He'll have some moments, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure he'll be in Iowa at some point. Same with Marshall Warren. This is his senior year, and only 9 points. Only 9 points. 24 games, 2 goals, 7 assists, and he's a -3. But Boston College isn't what they were a few years ago when Boldy was still there, when they were definitely a threat to go all the way. They were good, kind of like the Gophers right now. We talked about those guys. Adam Beckman, already said. Hunter Jones in the ECHL. ECHL is hell, unfortunately, for him. 10-7 on the... What am I looking at? He's not 10-7. 1-10-7 on the season. 89 save percentage. 3.24 goals against average for the Iowa Heartlanders, who are just, you know, it is what it is there. Been a rough go. Like I just said, 1-10-7. That is called snake bit. Who's Nadinov? We're all huge fans of his. Obviously has a better future than Hovanov. There's no question about it. And I think he will play for the Minnesota Wild someday soon, and he will be one of the better ones. I can imagine him playing with Matt Boldy at some point. Maybe Kirill Kaprizov as well. Maybe he'll be that guy. And I bet his numbers will be crazy good. Definitely a playmaker, 23 assists versus 10 goals, 33 total points in 57 games, and this is in the KHL, which is not an easy place to play at all, and he's definitely looking the part. Nate Benoit, who's been compared to behind the scenes to Bryce Mizzley, right, who was, you know, unfortunately miserable numbers throughout his college career in ECHL and all that, poor guy. I want to look at Bryce Mizzley super fast. What the heck? Austria, that's what I thought. He went overseas. Yep, Asiago Hockey Club, Austria. But I thought Asiago was... Okay, never mind. I'm just messing around. 28 points, 5 goals, 23 assists. He's also a playmaking center guy. But yeah, University of Vermont. I mean, purgatory, man. Purgatory. They were a nice team in 2009, but way before Bryce Mizzley got there. I believe they got to the Frozen Four that year. Yeah, what a miserable freaking draft. I mean, the only one that might have a chance is Nick Sweeney. And we're talking like maybe, you know, and he's a 7th-round pick for that year. It's kind of funny. Fletcher. Whew, that's all I got to say about that. We'll continue moving up here. Yeah, but Nate Benoit, that was compared to Bryce Mizzley. Oh, just like, yeah, he'll get a couple points here and there, but he's not going to make it. It's like it's a straight-up climb for him. It's like trying to climb the IDS with your bare hands. Good luck. Good luck. 4 goals, 10 assists, 14 points. Career highs. Career highs in penalty minutes and a career low with a -23 for the sappy and crappy Omaha Lancers. Unfortunately, cool name, but they're not real good. Jesper Wallstedt. Carson Lambeau's had, 5 assists in like a like a two-game stretch, I believe. He had a four-assist game. He's been really good, actually. Still less than a point a game, but, well, he's a defenseman. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, almost Brent Burns-like numbers one way or another. 7 goals, 28 assists now, 35 points. He's definitely caught up to where he would like to be. He's actually ahead of last year's pace, so good for him. He's officially ahead of last year's pace when he was behind forever. And, of course, he missed a bunch of games and all that. But now 35 points in 37 games, and he's a plus 35 versus last year's plus 42. So kind of catching up to where he was, and a little bit ahead in some ways. Jack Peart of the team that was formerly the number one team in the in college hockey, but still way up there, might end up playing against the Gophers in the NCAA tournament's Frozen Four or something like that, depending on how things pair up. 2 goals, 18 assists now. He's now gone from 17 to 20 points. Congratulations, Jack Peart, career high in his sophomore year. Again, a power play quarterback. He's a plus 14, and St. Cloud is way better than they were last year. And watch out. Watch out. Maybe they'll be back in that championship game again versus us. Wouldn't that be something? Caden Benkier, the guy who made the giant leap forward. No, no, he's not. That's the other guy. That's another guy. That's, yeah, that's Kyle Masters, part of me. Benkier has actually been better, though. He's definitely well ahead of last year's pace, and I keep talking about that. This is just junior hockey, but a guy with some size, 6'2" center. It's good. Good to see. He's a goal-scoring center, too. He's not just assists. Like 5 goals and, or like, you know, like 11 goals and 40 assists. 22 goals and 24 assists. What do you think of that? So 46 points in 33 games. Way over a point a game. It's just the WHL, but look forward to see what he can do at the AHL level, because that's coming very soon. Kyle Masters, again, who took behemoth steps forward. Point-a-game defenseman now. Unbelievable. 8 goals, 35 assists, and he's a plus 10 on the season. 43 games, 43 points overall. Again, gigantic step forward. Edmonton, Alberta, shoots from the right side. Great step forward there. Josh Pilar, who continues to be mediocre, and now he's out again. I don't think he makes the NHL. That's just all I got to say there. 12 points, 12 games. So it's too bad. We talked about Ugrin, Hunter Haight, Mr. Haight, who's been dominating the Saginaw Spirit. Again, I always talk about the 3 games, 8 points. That was awesome. And it's kept him ahead of a point-a-game pace. He's a center. He's only 18 years old. He's awesome. I love what he can do. 12 goals, 17 assists. He's a playmaker. He versus a minus 14 earlier in the year with the Barrie Colts. He's at an even zero now. He's even. he's at par, basically, if you want to get to talk golf, I guess. 26 points in 21 games. Again, step forward from earlier in the season, and he's just a youngster here. Rigger Lorenz, now at 8 points in 25 games. 2 goals, 6 assists. He had 85 points for the Alberta Junior Hockey League last year. Okotoks Oilers, awesome name. Awesome name. Okotoks Oilers, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. He dominated that team. He dominated that league, though, with 85 and 60. But at the college level, we'll see. Just a freshman. He's a left winger, basically fourth line right now for them. But we'll see. Let him develop. Milne, we talked about him. Ryan Healy, he's playing for Havet. And, yep, he had missed a significant amount of time, but now he's been playing. He's went from 5 to 7 points the last couple of weeks. So just kind of gradual right shot defense and kind of gradual growth there. And he's just a freshman. So coming in out of Chicago, and he's playing for Havet. So he wants to be like Ben Matlock. David Spachek. Yeah? Come on, nobody's clapping? Oh, gee, thanks. Thanks for the encouragement. I'm just kidding. Nobody's here to clap. Maybe you're clapping off the mic. Well, he's been a little quiet, unfortunately. He's been a lot quieter, but it's okay. I don't expect David Spachek to score 100 points, even in the queue. I don't think he's going to get 100 points or anything. And even if he did, that doesn't mean he's going to be a great player at the next level, because Hovanov had 99 points. And after that, his whole game sucked. His offense sucked, and his defense sucked. So might as well go to Thompson, Manitoba, you know, because that's how cold his game has been. So, sorry. Sherbrooke Phoenix, Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. You know I love saying that. Spachek, though, you could say he's slightly behind last year's pace now, if you do the math. Slightly, like a fraction. Last year's postseason, yeah, I mean, awesome. 13 points in 11 games. That is great. Great. So hopefully he's the kind of guy that actually steps up in the playoffs, because we've been lacking that in this town with every damn team since God knows. Outside of Kirby Puckett, you know, and like Jack Morris and Frank Viola for the Minnesota Twins. So many guys. Even Ken Herbeck batted like 143 or something in the World Series, didn't he? In the second one. The first one, yeah, Ken Herbeck was a little better. Just a little bit. That grand slam in Game 6 helped a little bit. Just a touch. It actually buried the St. Louis Cardinals. And it's like, hell yes, we're going to Game 7. You know, we don't need any dramatic home run from Puckett until 91 in Game 6 that year. But Puckett did have 4 runs scored in that game. He was all over the place. He had 4 hits in that game, if I remember correctly. Spacek, though, again, yep, hopefully he becomes a good playoff player for Minnesota if he does make our team someday. We'll see. But cooling off a bit, unfortunately. 30 points in 37 games. Long story longer. Cervak Petrovsky, am I saying that one correctly? I hope. He's a center, so you expect more offense. 38 points in 39 games. Slightly ahead of last year's pace. But not way ahead, but certainly a guy who played well against, played well in the juniors. So we really appreciate it. Both Spacek and Petrovsky played very well. These guys actually looked more promising than any of the other prospects in that World Junior Championship. So we really appreciated what they could do. 18 goals, 20 assists in 39 games. So one point less than a point a game, and he's a plus 10. That should wrap up the prospect section. But again, Iowa's playing so much better. Yes, Jesper Volstedt, who's actually, as I'm doing my Secret of Evermore game review for Video Game Flashback, Jesper Volstedt is one of the characters. And guess who the other character is? Philip Gustafson. When I play Secret of Evermore, I tend to call the two characters Minnesota Wild player names. This year, I went with goalies. I wanted to have Marc-Andre Fleury in there, but his name didn't quite fit, and I didn't want to screw around with it and make it look dumb. So all three of the goalies have long names because of their last names. So where Marc-Andre Fleury, it's three short names, but for some reason it didn't fit. Damn it. Anyhow, we'll take a quick break and get to Fan Interaction and hear from Raycon for the first time on this show. And we are back here on Brave the Wild. We are going to jump into our first Raycon ad here. So thank you, Raycon. And I do use them, and I can vouch for it. They are good. They are very good. They cancel out sound and all that. But they don't cancel out too much where you can't hear anything, you know, when that can be really annoying for people. So yeah, they're actually good. So I'm vouching for them right here, right now. As for the actual ad, this time of year, everyone's talking about making big changes, which is all well and good, but most of the time, pretty unrealistic, that's for sure. So examples like, yep, I mean, I'm hoping to make a big change. I'd like to have a different job where I work. I'd like to move up one way or another. I do not want to be stuck in the same exact field that I'm in right now. So I'd like to at least, even if it's in the same building, but same job, but or same company, but, you know, more of a support staff job than what I'm currently in. I'll leave it at that. Anyhow, I've actually found that the smallest changes to your routine can make the biggest impact. In the same way, you don't have to break the bank to make a big deal purchase. Even the smallest things can be part of a big change if it's something you use every day, like my Raycons. And I do have Raycons. I'm not making it up at all. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can build great habits without breaking the bank. So, yep, I mean, I like using them quite a bit. Again, they cancel out noise if you're in a noisy room. You can, and the sound quality is good. It doesn't have that crap that some of the cheap crap out there has. So obviously, it's obviously you want something with decent quality out there. You don't want to spend like $20 on earbuds. You're going to be disappointed. But with these, you don't have to spend like $150 either. So. Yep, so it's really true. So anyhow, whether you're looking for and yes, they do work for phone conversations as well. They work for phone conversations perfectly well. In fact, funny how I might have a different brand that's very expensive, and through half the time the person can't hear me talking. So, and the Raycons work better, and I'm not making this up. Anyhow, whether you're looking for a pair of everyday earbuds, which is what I have, low-latency gaming headphones, or a speaker with a battery that will last all night at your next party, Raycon's got you covered, and the battery power is really good. Yep, Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, so you don't even have to choose between products. You can get one of each, or a pair and a spare, and still pay less than you would with some of the other guys. Again, I have the regular everyday earbuds. I have the blue ones, and yes, I got this on my own. I didn't get this because Raycon told me to or whatever. I got them on my own in the past, so this is I'm not making it up. Even if you know you'll love your Raycons as much as I do, Raycon wants to make sure you feel great about your purchase. They offer buy now, pay later options, that's really nice. Every purchase has an easy and free return guarantee. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely great. And obviously, again, there's wonderful features, customizable sound profiles, earbud tap functions. Yep, love that, where you can pause something immediately. Noise isolation, that's a big deal. So stuff like that, crystal clear call quality, like I just talked about. So I kind of jumped ahead. Water and sweat resistant as well. So very, very cool. Ready to buy something small with a big impact? And that's the idea. You want it small. You don't want it big and huge and looking all, yeah. Earbuds are supposed to be small. Ready to buy something small with a big impact? Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/THPN. Yep, this time there is no disclaimer, so because it's not gambling, but wonderful. And yeah, I mean, I'm very happy to know that they're our sponsor, because I like their product. Let's open up the fan interaction segment with Derek Felska. This is actually a direct message on Twitter. Otherwise, it's @BraveTheWild, and you want to hashtag BDWMN so I can have everything organized. But this is a direct message, so it's totally fine, and I stupidly didn't even see it. We'd been talking, and then I always get, you know, something comes up, and I start working on something, and then I blank, and I apologize that I wasn't interacting here. Derek says, and this is a really good tag, that's why I'm reading it here, a really interesting conversation. The interesting dark horse is Vladislav Firstov. He bolted, and I noticed how I didn't mention him, he bolted for the KHL instead of playing in Iowa. He has done okay over there. Does the team cut him loose, or do they forgive him because he's Russian? Or does he get the Manel treatment, and it's like we don't care anymore? He might get the Manel treatment. I wouldn't be surprised. That's kind of been Garen's way so far. But maybe it depends on just how much Garen values Vladislav Firstov at the end of the day. The way he bolted is probably not a good thing, though. I don't think that's going to go well around here, so I'm leaning that direction. But I don't know. How is he doing in the KHL? Not that great. 18 points in 37 games, but yeah, and he's 21, so I don't know. I'm thinking, nah, he wasn't that great in college either. I'm thinking they're going to move on, in my opinion. He's been okay. He's an interesting dark horse, no doubt, but I'm kind of leaning towards the latter, though, when you said, like, he's going to get the Manel treatment. Probably. Like Brennan Manel, who I was such a fan of, and then, yeah, doggone it. And he, unfortunately, things have not turned out so great for him either. So, odds are, that's how it's headed. That's a lot of notifications, but we'll maybe dig into that at the end here just to make sure I don't miss anything. Usually, people help me out, though, and I really appreciate those of you that have. What the heck? Okay. Yep, I was talking about these. Why is this there? Okay. Oh, probably because I was really late. Yeah, I had forgotten to post it, I think, earlier in the day. Stupid. So, my apologies. Yep, I was saying these uniforms. These are the uniforms they want these two teams to wear. That's when we were playing the Buffalo Sabres on Saturday. Yeah, that's really weird. I must have forgot to post that or something. I think I did, and that's why I was like, that's a late post. It's the Wild wearing those Nordstar retro, reverse retro, and Buffalo wearing their actual like Buffalo uniforms. I don't think I got a response, did I? I did. I better look at it. What happened? Scott Forner says, just as God intended it. And then I got a completely different response from Pam saying, no! Okay, I guess you don't like him. That sucks. Okay, can we move now? Sorry, this thing is not moving. Yep, does the break. Bored with the break and want to talk Minnesota Wild. Ask Brave the Wild and tag it BTWMN and ask as many questions, comments as you'd like. Please retweet. So Derek says, did you like it when the players picked their teams for the All-Star game rather than having them separated by conference or division? Or is it lame no matter what they do? Maybe it's a little better. Maybe it's a little better having them kind of mixed up. Because then you get like you get to play with people you wouldn't normally be around all the time. At the same time, it's relatively lame as well. All-Star games are kind of generally lame, unfortunately. So, but maybe, I think it's a slight improvement in a way. Like the NBA does that, and that seems to have helped them a little bit. The NBA All-Star game seems to be a little better than before. People have actually kind of liked it more than they thought. So that's one thing to look at. I think it's a slight improvement, bottom line. Derek says, if the Minnesota Wild were 1980s/90s box art for a video game, which one would they be? Box art for a video game. The current Wild team or? Yeah, I'm guessing that's what you meant. Yep, or generally. Breakthrough, no. An 80s or 90s box art, huh? I keep coming up with Mega Man because for me, hockey and Mega Man are like, yeah. I mean, you got the helmet, you got that same look. Hockey players, like Mega Man looks like a hockey player. He's even got the breezer look, you know. So it even looks like a breezer, but it's smaller. Yeah, but it still, he still looks like a hockey player the way he's constructed, we'll say. So it's got to be Mega Man. Mega Man 4. 3. 3. Mega Man 3, I'll say. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, it can't be 2. It's not 2. It doesn't look right to me sometimes, even though it's a beautiful box art. I'll say Mega Man 3 for now. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards when it comes to that. 4 is a little bit out there. So Mega Man 3. Hope you don't mind that one, huh? Derek says, should the NHL get rid of the All-Star game? I realize a lot of it is probably done to give perks to advertisers. But is it a good idea to halt the season for a week or longer for it? I'd rather not have the Stanley Cup playoffs in June. What do you think? Yeah, like the playoffs. The finals in June, but not the playoffs. I agree. I think it's a little bit on the lame side where maybe you don't need so much time off either. That's part of it. Like how they kind of drag it out. I mean, they start before the NBA for Pete's sake. So, I don't know. I don't like that it drags too far either. It's kind of silly. And I know it's advertising, and heck, even podcasting is advertising. I mean, I'm finally actually making a little bit of money for the first time in my life doing a podcast. So it's kind of cool doing podcasts, plural. I agree with that. That is kind of, it drags out too much. So, yep, I do agree. Next, the Derek Felska lightning round says, even though the Minnesota Wild currently sit in third place in the Central Division, should the Wild be in a sell mode because we know we have more painful decisions with the cap and this way we can deal with it now, add more future assets and draft picks? I think so, yeah. I think so. Unfortunately, Bill Guerin might not look at it that way, but I also don't think that Guerin is going to go all in. I don't think Bill Guerin's going to go all in and trade away certain people. The only way he trades away Rossi is if it's a really, really, really legitimate player that we can keep, I think. But people like Jesse Pierce on, when she's joined Judd's Hockey Show, has said basically, maybe get rid of him, Rossi, before other people find out he's like a bottom six. I hope he's not a bottom six, but maybe. Stephen Miller responds saying, the Wild cannot afford to keep Greenway. Which prospects or picks do we put up with him to get a first-round pick this year or next? Yeah, because they talk about how the first round this year is just stacked. I mean, we've heard that before. Like the Rossi draft, we heard about how stacked it is, and maybe all of us were fooled with that one, particularly with the particular guy we took. So it's hard to say. I think it's wonderful to get great prospects. But the other side of it is a lot of them aren't as good as we think. Charlie Coyle was looked on to be a captain and a great player. Charlie Coyle was not a great player. So, and Rossi, I don't know either. It's freaking unfortunate. But at the same time, Jordan Greenway was a guy a lot of us thought we liked. And he hasn't been either. So it just goes on and on. The list goes on and on. It's kind of like, what can you say? What can you do? Sorry, I had to change the channel. I was tired of looking at something. Yeah, ugh. You know, I do think we're going to be getting rid of certain players that we can't keep. That's what I do think is going to happen. It might drag into the summer, but that could be where it's heading. But one way or another, like, Dumba's not going to be back. Greenway, I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded, and I wouldn't be surprised if Hartman's gone somehow, some way as well, even though he's a quote-unquote bargain at his price. But, yeah, but it's like, I don't think he is a bargain anymore. That's the funny part. You could come back, you could legitimately come back and say, he's not a bargain. He's getting paid about what you'd expect, and he's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of in the way of possible guys like a Sammy Walker. Derek Filska, lightning round continues, which is a wonderful thing. Who do you think won the New York Islanders trade for Bo Horvat, the Vancouver Canucks, the New York Islanders, or Bo Horvat? Bo Horvat won it for sure, going to the New York Islanders. Yep, the Islanders, it's a good organization, as they say. The Canucks, I don't think they know what they're doing. So I'm going to go with the Islanders and Bo Horvat. I think Horvat is probably the major winner there, generally speaking. And I don't like to rip on the Canucks or any other teams necessarily, but it's not been good. It's been a damn mess there. I think Bo Horvat wins that. Yeah, so that's the short answer. And the Islanders have a chance to do something. They gave up a decent amount. What is it, like one of the prospects is a guy that has a real chance but maybe hasn't really shown it yet, that type of thing. Kind of like Rossi in a way. It'd be kind of like Rossi would have to be included in something like that. But it's. I think Horvat, though, yeah, generally speaking, wins that one. What is your definition of a prospect? Derek Felska, lightning round. What is your definition of a prospect? Is it a player that simply isn't with the Wild currently or something else? I'd be interested to hear how you would define this, because I think a lot of people have different paradigms of it. I hope I pronounced that word right. Yeah, because I know that word. Paradigms of it. I would define it as somebody that has a chance to be valuable, a valuable piece to the organization. Generally, again, it's a player that is a younger player. And yes, I think it's a player that could be on the roster as well. A player that hasn't reached his potential yet. A player that, you know, has a ceiling. That has a ceiling that, again, that hopefully is significantly higher than, you know, somebody that's just going to be stuck in the minor leagues forever. To me, a prospect, again, is a player that, yeah, it's a player that either is with or isn't with the team yet. They're of a young age where they have a possible future that hopefully can be better than the current players on the roster. At least some of them could be an upgrade at a position. Sometimes, again, it's a lower-ranking prospect, but generally speaking, it's a player that's younger that you feel could become something. In the future. Could become something in the future. That's how I see a prospect. It's kind of a long story. Long story longer. Pardon me. I'm kind of moving back here. My knees were getting a little... with the way I'm sitting here. I apologize. I have to let them breathe a little bit. Okay, so... here comes Marco Rossi. Did you know Marco Rossi's name is pronounced Marco Rossi? I guess I didn't. It makes sense, though. Marco Rossi. So... but I do know he owns Marcos' Pizzas, right? Yeah, you know he does. Okay, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Marco's Pizza? No, he doesn't, actually. What player's name is the most difficult to pronounce correctly with the Wild or otherwise? David Smashek. No, not that one. Probably that guy. Probably the player on the... there's tough ones all over that. Zibnejad. I think I've mispronounced that about a million times. I'm probably mispronouncing it right now. But that player on Arizona that I talked about earlier, that's got to be way up there. Maybe it's real easy, but Karel V. Let's just say Karel Vemelka. Vemelka. Did I pronounce it correctly? I don't know. But I'd say that's a tough one, just kind of looking at it. Gottes Beher, that's a tough one. They have a couple of toughies. Bukestad. You know, that one would have been tough if I didn't hear his name. It sounds easy when you see it. Veli Mäki, that's not hard, I don't think. Shikrin. Yeah, but no, I'm going to go with the Arizona goalie, though. Yeah, that one's tough. That's up there. With Minnesota, Probably Jesper Volstead is way up the list because you're not thinking that. Vladislav Firstov, you can just kind of sound that one out. Ryan O'Rourke, are you kidding me? Of course, that's an easy one. Nestorenko, you can even sound that one out. It might look tough, but it's easy. Nikita Nestorenko. Matvei Guskov. Adam Beckman, yeah, no kidding. Hunter Jones, that one's really hard. Kuznetdinov is up there a little bit because people don't realize the K is silent. Marco Rossi. Liam Ugrin, Danila Yurov, Hunter Haidt, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Spacek, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think it's Spacek, but I guess, like, when you look at it, like, certain, yeah, like, guys from that part of the world, yeah, I mean, I can see the accent in it now. Spacek, it's not Spacek, so, David Spacek, he's Space K, you know, like Space X, he's Space K, okay? That's how you pronounce it. No, Spacek. I can see that. Or in the past, maybe I wouldn't have got it right away. Or you just kind of get used to being around. Hovanov, that's... I know there's been some tough ones in the past. Duhaim isn't the easiest. Like, you might think of Duhaim, you know. That one's a little on the little slightly tougher side. Joel instead of, you know, Jewel instead of Joel. Okay. But again, I'm going to go with the Arizona goalie. As for Minnesota, Jesper Wallstedt, because you look at it, it looks like Jesper Wallstedt. Like, that's easy, but it's actually quite different. Jesper Wallstedt, Wallstedt. So that was fun. Thank you. That was a good one, actually. Those were a couple of amazing questions, actually. That was good. That really was. I'm not kidding, either. Derek says, who is the best GM in the NHL right now? He's asking the big questions today, isn't he? Who is the worst? Bill Guerin, definitely. No, I'm kidding. Who's the best GM in the NHL right now? That would be, we'll see. Who's the worst? I have a pretty good idea there. Shouldn't we be trying to trade with the worst GM right now? I think the worst GM in the NHL is, I hate to say it, but it's recency biased and all that. I probably am just kind of talking out of my somewhere, you know what I mean? Chuck Fletcher, I think, is the worst GM in the NHL. When you consider where Philadelphia was headed when he came. And like, oh, look at Philly. Chuck Fletcher's doing a great job. Chuck Fletcher didn't do anything. He did absolutely nothing. And that team looks like dog dookie now. They looked awesome right as Ron Hextall exited. They were, you know, they had a frustrating season that year. And then immediately the next year, it was like, whoop. And those were all Ron Hextall's prospects. Yes, a prospect. Prospect, like young guys and such, like Carter Hart and all that. And then Chuck Fletcher goes in there, and it's dog dookie ever since. And then you bring in Mr. Tough Guy, and they're a game under 500. Ugh, let's go, bleepity bleep. You know, they bring in Mr. Tough Guy, John Tortorella, who's probably coaching his last stint in the NHL. I don't think there's any doubt. And I think Fletcher is GMing his last stint in the NHL. He'll probably be an alternate or assistant or GM, whatever, somewhere alternate. Or, you know, he was a good assistant GM with Pittsburgh. But, yeah, Fletcher's the worst now that I've babbled for 15 minutes about that. The best, I'd like to say Bill Guerin, but Dallas, I think Dallas has done an amazing job. I don't like the Stars, but they've done an amazing job. I'm going to go with the, I hate to say it, New York Rangers. Ugh. Oh, my aching something. I don't know. The New York Rangers general manager. And that would be Chris Drury. Again, this is kind of a gun to the head quick thing, but I mean, it's hard to go against Chris Drury and the New York Rangers. It really is. They've built a wonderful team with that could win a Stanley Cup. They could win multiple Stanley Cups. It's some of it's luck getting that really high draft pick and such. But at the same time, I mean, you know, at the same time, they've done a good job. They put together a nice team, and despite losing certain guys and then turning around and acquiring certain players, I think they've done a wonderful job. They built a great organization, and I think he's probably the best. Otherwise, Boston's way up there. Boston, New Jersey, those are two. You know, now I'm... I would have said Steve Yzerman with a bullet if he was still with Tampa because it. See, now I'm going all over the place and I'm going to just bore people with this. It's a combination either Chris Drury or Steve Yzerman with what obviously what he did with Tampa, It's just unbelievable. Three straight Stanley Cup finals. They're still a team that could win the Cup this year. There's no doubt that Tampa could win the Stanley Cup this year. And even Detroit, the way they've kind of risen from the dead, they're actually above 500. Unfortunately, they're still seven games out of the playoffs, but it's a logjam, just like it is in the Western Conference. Detroit, only seven points out, behind the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah, they played back-to-back Cup finals, pretty cool, when Detroit was still a Western Conference club, which I think they belong in the East, and that's totally fine, even though it was a great division rival for many years for the North Stars. That was kind of cool. It was. We actually used to beat them once in a while back in those days. No, when they were, even though they were still okay. But yeah, I mean, it's between Yzerman and Drury. I think those are the two best. Bill Guerin, I think, is top five, though. I think he's top five. Some people might think he's overrated a little bit. I think Bill Guerin's top five. I do. I like what Ron Francis is doing with Seattle so far. They look pretty dangerous. They're only 3 points behind Dallas. And, of course, the Stars GM has done a great job. They really have. Even though they've lost three in a row, they're still the top team in the West. Edmonton's actually looking good for once. So watch out for them. They look really tough right now. But it helps having Connor McDavid. You know, it doesn't take the greatest GM in the world to say, first pick in the NHL draft is Connor McDavid. Yeah, that's okay. So with that said, now that I've made that way too long, I apologize. But it's between Drury and Yzerman, depending on how you look at it. Brian Herrera says, with the civil war going on about wild colors, why not just get sponsored by Mountain Dew and combine the colors? Look at you. That's actually kind of funny, though. Maybe. Derek Felsic says, no, it's not fair to Mountain Dew. Ouch. And then Brian Herrera responds with, do the do. And I still remember hearing about Mr. Dew. Do you want to do the do? Yeah, Mr. Dew. I think I talked about that on Brave the Wild. I talked about Mr. Dew, didn't I? And I brought the little Coleco cartridge over. So I'm going to do it again. Yeah, because I'm a super nerd, right? I'm going to do it again. Find it. Ah, here we are. Beautiful. Get it back in there. Would you believe I have a Pepper 2 manual? Pepper 2 is one of the Coleco games, ColecoVision games. The manual's in perfect condition. It's 40 years old, 1983. Here's Dew. I'm just kind of tapping it. Mr. Dew, this is a ColecoVision cartridge. 1983. So since you said Dew the Dew, I'm doing the Dew right here. Boink, boink there. Sorry, that was probably really loud. That was a ColecoVision cartridge knocking on the microphone. Apologize if it was loud. That concludes fan interaction as I know it. I better get going anyway. Steve Snyder says, I think the number 13 experiment with 97 and 96 may be past expiration date. Agree with you 100%. Wow, this is a couple of people jumping in at the end here. Holy cow. There's a lot in here. I'm going to make sure. I apologize. And I want to mention the people that retweeted. Wild Brazil retweeted the board with the break thing. Where is all the retweets? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Tom Hayen also retweeted that. Thank you to get the word out there. I want to get the retweet of the most recent episode to say thank you for you guys that did. I can't find it. Yeah, that's what happens, though. There's so much interaction here. Wouldn't mind the team doing something this with the logo. That's kind of, but these are conversations. They're not really show-related. Just my Twitter happens to be attached to it. That's what I try to avoid those if I can. They're cool to read while I'm, going through the week. But, yeah, I'm not going to read all those on the show. Or this is going to be like a 10-hour segment here. So, there were a couple here. Steve Snyder, he was talking about how basically Sam Steele's expired, And I agree with that, because, that's why he got the Shepherd Memorial this week. Stephen Miller, I read that one about the Greenway. Alicia Townsill says, I don't believe we'll get a second round pick in 2023. We'll get a second 2023 first round pick. Unless we part ways with Rossi, Addison, or even Jesper Wallstedt. And we know Bill Guerin isn't stupid with Greenway. If Dumba can be like... Yeah, because we're not going to get a first-round pick from Greenway, no. If Dumba can be like... Risto, that's another name that's hard to pronounce. Risto Lainen, and fetch a 2023 first. Garen, yep, great job, Garen, basically. 6 months until Bengals training camp followed me, huh? Go Bengals. Yep, I wish they won, but they didn't, unfortunately. Kevin Girl, a couple of responses to Steve Snyder, and this will wrap it up. I think it's time to give Rossi another look. Then I'd go with 97-13-36 and 12-23-89 or 38. Yep, that's Eugene Hartman. Hartman or Goodrow is like a pick'em, but have Rossi with Boldy. I like that, KFN Girl. I really do. Then she says, that's Jody Halvey. I'd try and trade Greenway and Dumba for sure, but hopefully be replaced by a better skill like Faber. Yes. Yep, that's where Dumba's gone. It's because Brock Faber playing for the hopeful national champion Gophers. Faber is better than Dumba and Shaw. And then Duhame is better than Greenway. I agree with both of those statements, actually. I think Duhame is going to have probably going to be better long-term than Greenway. But maybe not everybody agrees, but that's okay. That's what we're here for. Yeah, and that's when Steve said he thinks the experiment with 13 is past expiration date. I do agree with that. Anybody that is ready to move on with Steele, I think it's okay. Yeah, so Jody apparently wants to keep Steele right where he is. We'll see. Otherwise, Rossi with Boldy, I think that's the one thing that could really help. Maybe that there it is, where Rossi, you're going to start to see change. You know, I think they need to do that, actually, very soon. And we can find out what really happened. With all that said, thank you all so very much for your interaction with the show. It ended up being way longer than I expected. Wow, a lot of conversation and me babbling my butt off, and I apologize. So I better shut up here pretty quick. The shout-outs are going to go to Minnesota Wild Global, Minnesota Wild Nation. Thank you, every one of you, so much. Patrick Turner with Minnesota Wild Nation, Florida. Florida is the number one state, I believe, listening to this show right now, which is unbelievable. I can't believe it. So thank you, Patrick Turner, if you have something to do with that. Thank you. That is really cool. So thank you, Florida. I love you very much. And Brave the Wild's growing really nicely. A following in Florida. That's pretty cool. Scott Cavendish, Kathy Main, Michael Fick, and others. Chad Walski. Of course, Pavel Bennett, Merrick Skyba, guys like that coming in from MN Young Guns, Minnesota Wild Young Guns, and MNW Prospects. Really appreciate you very much. We keep up with the prospects and such. So with that, thank all of you very much. Again, sorry if this is a little on the long side, and I need to get going myself. So hope all of you have a wonderful week. Enjoy the All-Star Game if you watch it, or go for a walk outside or something, and hope for some good hockey coming up this upcoming week where the Wild hopefully stop with the 3-up, 3-down nonsense and play above 500. Otherwise, we'll see what happens as the trade deadline gets closer and closer.